Chapter 35. In the Commons House of Parliament of the United Kingdom, loud and long were the cheers, and mighty was the rustling of one of the blue flags, with liberty of the presses inscribed thereon, when the sandy head of Mr. Poet was discerned in one of the windows, by the mob beneath, and tremendous was the enthusiasm, when the Honorable Samuel Slumkey himself, in top boots, and a blue neckerchief, advanced and seized the hand of the said poet, and melodramatically testified by gestures to the crowd, his ineffaceable obligations to the Itansville Gazette. Is everything ready? Said the Honorable Samuel Slumkey to Mr. Perker. Everything, my dear sir, was the little man's reply. Nothing has been omitted, I hope? Said the Honorable Samuel Slumkey. Nothing has been left undone, my dear sir, nothing whatever. There are 20 watchmen at the street door for you to shake hands with, and 6 children in arms, that they're to pat on the head, and inquire the age of. Be particular about the children, my dear sir, it has always a great effect, that sort of thing. I'll take care, said the Honorable Samuel Slumkey. And, perhaps, my dear sir, said the cautious little man, perhaps if you could, I don't mean to say it's indispensable, but if you could manage to kiss one of 'em, it would produce a very great impression on the crowd. Wouldn't it have as good an effect, if the proposer or seconder did that? Said the Honorable Samuel Slumkey. Why, I am afraid it wouldn't, replied the agent. If it were done by yourself, my dear sir, I think it would make you very popular. Very well, said the Honorable Samuel Slumkey, with a resigned air, then it must be done. That's all. Arrange the procession, cried the 20 committee men. Amidst the cheers of the assembled throng, the band, and the constables, and the committee men, and the voters, and the horsemen, and the carriages, took their places, each of the 2 horse vehicles being closely packed with as many gentlemen as could manage to stand upright in it, and that assigned to Mr. Perker, containing Mr. Pickwick, Mr. Tubman, Mr. Snodgrass, and about 6 of the committee besides. There was a moment of awful suspense as the procession waited for the Honorable Samuel Slumkey to step into his carriage. Suddenly the crowd set up a great cheering. He has come out, said little Mr. Perker, greatly excited, the more so as their position did not enable them to see what was going forward. Another cheer, much louder. He has shaken hands with the men, cried the little agent. Another cheer, far more vehement. He has patted the babies on the head, said Mr. Perker, trembling with anxiety. A roar of applause, that rent the air. He has kissed one of 'em. Exclaimed the delighted little man. A second roar. He has kissed another, gasped the excited manager. A third roar. He's kissing 'em all. Screamed the enthusiastic little gentleman, and hailed by the deafening shouts of the multitude, the procession moved on. How or by what means it became mixed up with the other procession, and how it was ever extricated from the confusion consequent thereupon, is more than we can undertake to describe, inasmuch as Mr. Pickwick's hat was knocked over his eyes, nose, and mouth, by one poke of a buff flag staff, very early in the proceedings. He describes himself as being surrounded on every side, when he could catch a glimpse of the scene, by angry and ferocious countenances, by a vast cloud of dust, and by a dense crowd of combatants. He represents himself as being forced from the carriage by some unseen power, and being personally engaged in a pugilistic encounter, but with whom, or how, or why, he is wholly unable to state. He then felt himself forced up some wooden steps by the persons from behind, and on removing his hat, found himself surrounded by his friends, in the very front of the left-hand side of the hustings. The right was reserved for the Buff Party, and the center for the mayor and his officers. One of whom the fat crier of a Tansville was ringing an enormous bell, by way of commanding silence, while Mr. Horatio Fiskin, and the Honorable Samuel Slumkey, with their hands upon their hearts, were bowing with the utmost affability to the troubled sea of heads that inundated the open space in front, and from whence arose a storm of groans, and shouts, and yells, and hootings, that would have done honor to an earthquake. There's Winkle, apostrophe said Mr. Tubman, pulling his friend by the sleeve. Where? Apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, putting on his spectacles, which he had fortunately kept in his pocket hitherto. There, apostrophe said Mr. Tubman, on the top of that house. Apostrophe and there, sure enough, in the leaden gutter of a tiled roof, were Mr. Winkle and Mrs. Poet, comfortably seated in a couple of chairs, waving their handkerchiefs in token of recognition, a compliment which Mr. Pickwick returned by kissing his hand to the lady. The proceedings had not yet commenced, and as an inactive crowd is generally disposed to be jocose, this very innocent action was sufficient to awaken their facetiousness. Oh, you wicked old rascal, apostrophe cried one voice, looking arter the girls, are you? Apostrophe, oh, you venerable sinner, apostrophe cried another, putting on his spectacles, to look at a merry human. Apostrophe said a third. I see him a winking at her, with his wicked old eye, apostrophe shouted a fourth. Look arter your wife, poet, apostrophe bellowed a fifth, and then there was a roar of laughter. As these taunts were accompanied with invidious comparisons between Mr. Pickwick and an aged ram, and several witticisms of the like nature, and as they moreover rather tended to convey reflections upon the honor of an innocent lady, Mr. Pickwick's indignation was excessive. But as silence was proclaimed at the moment, he contented himself by scorching the mob with a look of pity for their misguided minds, at which they laughed more boisterously than ever. Silence! Apostrophe roared the mayor's attendants. Whiffen! Proclaim silence! Apostrophe said the mayor, with an air of pomp befitting his lofty station. In obedience to this command the crier performed another concerto on the bell, whereupon the gentleman in the crowd called out muffins, which occasioned another laugh. Gentlemen, apostrophe said the mayor, at as loud a pitch as he could possibly force his voice to gentlemen. Brother electors of the borough of Tansville. We are met here today for the purpose of choosing a representative in the room of our late apostrophe. Here the mayor was interrupted by a voice in the crowd. Success to the mayor! Apostrophe cried the voice, and may he never desert the nail and sarspan business, as he got his money by. Apostrophe, this allusion to the professional pursuits of the orator, was received with a storm of delight, which, with a bell accompaniment, rendered the remainder of his speech inaudible, with the exception of the concluding sentence, in which he thanked the meeting for the patient attention with which they heard him throughout, an expression of gratitude which elicited another burst of mirth, of about a quarter of an hour's duration. Next, a tall, thin gentleman, in a very stiff white neckerchief, after being repeatedly desired by the crowd to send a boy home, to ask whether he hadn't left his voice under the pillow, apostrophe begged to nominate a fit and proper person to represent them in Parliament. And when he said it was Horatio Fiskin Esquire, of Fiskin Lodge, near Tansville, the Fiskinites applauded, and the Slumkeyites groaned, so long, and so loudly, that both he and the seconder might have sung comic songs in lieu of speaking, without anybody's being a bit the wiser. The friends of Horatio Fiskin Esquire, having at their innings, a little chilleric, pink-faced man stood forward, to propose another fit and proper person, to represent the electors of Tansville in Parliament. And very swimmingly the pink-faced gentleman would have got on, if he had not been rather too chilleric to entertain a sufficient perception of the fun of the crowd. But after a very few sentences of figurative eloquence, The pink-faced gentleman got from denouncing those who interrupted him in the mob, to exchanging defiances with the gentleman on the hustings, whereupon arose an uproar which reduced him to the necessity of expressing his feelings by serious pantomime, which he did, and then left the stage to his seconder, who delivered a written speech of half an hour's length, and wouldn't be stopped, because he had sent it all to the Atansville Gazette, and the Atansville Gazette had already printed it, every word. Then Horatio Fiskin Esquire, of Fiskin Lodge, near Atansville, presented himself for the purpose of addressing the electors, which he no sooner did, than the band employed by the Honorable Samuel Slumkey commenced performing with a power to which their strength in the morning was a trifle, in return for which, the buff crowd belabored the heads and shoulders of the blue crowd, on which the blue crowd endeavored to dispossess themselves of their very unpleasant neighbors the buff crowd, and a scene of struggling, and pushing, and fighting, succeeded, to which we can no more do justice than the mayor could, although he issued imperative orders to 12 constables to seize the ringleaders, who might amount in number to 250, or thereabouts. At all these encounters, Horatio Fiskin Esquire, of Fiskin Lodge, and his friends, waxed fierce and furious, until at last Horatio Fiskin Esquire, of Fiskin Lodge, begged to ask his opponent, the Honorable Samuel Slumkey, of Slumkey Hall, whether that band played by his consent, which question the Honorable Samuel Slumkey declining to answer, Horatio Fiskin Esquire, of Fiskin Lodge, shook his fist in the countenance of the Honorable Samuel Slumkey, of Slumkey Hall, upon which the Honorable Samuel Slumkey, his blood being up, defied Horatio Fiskin Esquire to mortal combat. At this violation of all known rules and precedents of order, the mayor commanded another fantasia on the bell, and declared that he would bring before himself both Horatio Fiskin Esquire, of Fiskin Lodge, and the Honorable Samuel Slumkey, of Slumkey Hall, and bind them over to keep the peace. Upon this terrific denunciation, the supporters of the two candidates interfered, and after the friends of each party had quarreled in pairs, for 3/4 of an hour, Horatio Fiskin Esquire touched his hat to the Honorable Samuel Slumkey. The Honorable Samuel Slumkey touched his to Horatio Fiskin Esquire. The band was stopped, the crowd were partially quieted, and Horatio Fiskin Esquire was permitted to proceed. The speeches of the two candidates, though differing in every other respect, afforded a beautiful tribute to the merit and high worth of the electors of Atansville. Both expressed their opinion that a more independent, a more enlightened, a more public-spirited, a more noble-minded, a more disinterested set of men than those who had promised to vote for him never existed on earth. Each darkly hinted his suspicions that the electors in the opposite interest had certain swinish and besotted infirmities which rendered them unfit for the exercise of the important duties they were called upon to discharge. Fiskin expressed his readiness to do anything he was wanted. Slumkey, his determination to do nothing that was asked of him. Both said that the trade, the manufactures, the commerce, the prosperity of Atansville would ever be dearer to their hearts than any earthly object, and each had it in his power to state, with the utmost confidence, that he was the man who would eventually be returned. There was a show of hands. The mayor decided in favor of the Honorable Samuel Slumkey, of Slumkey Hall. Horatio Fiskin Esquire, of Fiskin Lodge, demanded a poll, and a poll was fixed accordingly. Then a vote of thanks was moved to the mayor for his able conduct in the chair, and the mayor, devoutly wishing that he had had a chair to display his able conduct in, for he had been standing during the whole proceedings, returned thanks. The processions reformed, the carriages rolled slowly through the crowd, and its members screeched and shouted after them as their feelings or caprice dictated. During the whole time of the polling, the town was in a perpetual fever of excitement. Everything was conducted on the most liberal and delightful scale. Excisable articles were remarkably cheap at all the public houses, and spring vans paraded the streets for the accommodation of voters who were seized with any temporary dizziness in the head, an epidemic which prevailed among the electors during the contest to a most alarming extent, and under the influence of which they might frequently be seen lying on the pavements in a state of utter insensibility. A small body of electors remained unpolled on the very last day. They were calculating and reflecting persons who had not yet been convinced by the arguments of either party, although they had frequent conferences with each. 1 hour before the close of the poll, Mr. Perker solicited the honor of a private interview with these intelligent, these noble, these patriotic men. It was granted. His arguments were brief but satisfactory. They went in a body to the poll, and when they returned, the Honorable Samuel Slumke, of Slumke Hall, was returned also. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.